So it does not prevent transmission. Those who have gotten the shots can acquire and transmit at equal volumes. University of Wisconsin, University of California, Vietnam, multiple studies affirming this scientifically peer-reviewed data.
And mechanistically, he's basically talked about it's from IgA. Secretory IgA is the most abundant antibody in our body, and it does not get stimulated from any of these vaccines. This is a respiratory virus. Secretory IgA is in the respiratory system, and that's one of the main reasons why vaccinated people actually are harboring more virus.
Now, from COVID-19 vaccine frontrunners and their nanotechnology design from the National Institutes of Health to back up what that Tennessee House hearing said, this quote, "One reason for vaccine failure against respiratory viruses is that the respiratory tract, including the lungs, is an external mucosal surface that is protected by the generation of secreted IgA antibodies. Most vaccines are delivered intramuscularly, and mucosal immunity and IgA secretion is therefore minimal. Furthermore, eliciting IgA production from conventional vaccines is difficult, and vaccines may lack the immunogenicity required to elicit necessary IgA protection." All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Scales of Truth. Wanted to give that tease just so you could understand the point of this, and then we'll go into some details a little bit more. So this is a follow-up to a previous quick rant of truth. So that initial audio you heard was from Quick Rant of Truth 067, Tennessee House Health Subcommittee testimony, all-cause mortality increased among those who took the solution. So when you hear these little extra details, hold on to them. That's what happened with me here, as I'm just happening to be reading some other stuff that I had collected. And I heard this IgA. I'm like, I think this IgA stuff is what that House subcommittee talked about. And it, sure enough, there they were talking, Dr. Ryan Cole from about a March 1st, 2022 testimony around a subcommittee hearing HB 1871. They said, hey, yeah, one major problem with these vaccines is that the main mechanism you need to stop a respiratory illness is IgA activation, and this doesn't do it. So then I'm looking up in my library of things I read in a different article that is giving background on nanoparticles and vaccines. And I will, by the way, point to that as recall my little string of episodes talking about nanoparticles and the revelation of their great toxicity, and yet somehow they're the basis of much medication. Somewhere in there, I speculated, and then maybe I confirmed as well, I don't remember, whether nanoparticles were really the reason that the messenger RNA was called, you know, that it's wrapped in a nanolipid. Is that really it's because it's nanoparticle-based? So now here I have in my little library of reading this article entitled COVID-19 Vaccine Frontrunners and Their Nanotechnology Design. You can find this on National Institutes of Health from October 2021. And this article basically says exactly what the Tennessee doctors testifying were saying. And that is around the lack of an IgA response. I'm going to repeat this here. This is under the background section, not even the main section. And then talking as a subsection, just a general background of vaccine immunology, as this is pocket guesses a 60-minute read. So it's a good length article, gives a decent amount of background behind this. I will sidebar slightly just because it's quick and it's an interesting distinction. Maybe just like we have now called messenger RNA medicine a vaccine, and somehow it's entered the lexicon of now being referred to in the category of a vaccine instead of a medicine. Maybe that's happened before, because as this article states, a single vaccination can confer lifelong protection against smallpox or polio virus. Well, does that not mean that potentially part of the reason that they then say, but that's not the case with many diseases, a vaccination does not confer lifelong protection? Does that not at least imply or at least will make one speculate that maybe another class of medicine got just recategorized as vaccines, because certainly most of the vaccines we talk about now do not confer lifelong protection, and yet they're called vaccines. They continue to say HIV continues to evade protection by vaccination despite a major worldwide effort to develop an effective vaccine. And then they say additionally there are indications that respiratory viruses are especially difficult to protect against with vaccines. Wait, what? Especially difficult to protect against with vaccines? Well, what about the annual vaccine against the flu, which is respiratory? And then the very next sentence, I kid you not, the respiratory syncytial virus is a prime example in which there are no approved vaccines despite considerable efforts to develop one. But wait for it. What's syncytial? Well, apparently the common cold virus, if you look up syncytial. So here we suddenly get this idea, you know, remember how it was absolutely sacrilege to say anything except, of course, this is unquestionable. And here we go as basic background in this article. Yep, some viruses, especially respiratory ones, are really hard to create a vaccine for. In fact, there's never been one for the common cold virus. So now we go back to the meat of this. I'm going to repeat, one reason for vaccine failure against respiratory viruses is that the respiratory tract, including the lungs, is an external mucosal surface that is protected by the generation of secreted IgA antibodies. That's exactly what the second voice in that Tennessee hearing audio was referring to, secreted IgA antibodies. Yet, the antibodies measured to determine whether an experimental subject has, quote, responded to a vaccine, often focus on IgG, IgM, or total immunoglobulin in the blood. So I don't know what to tell you guys. It's just constantly a square peg in a round hole situation, as much as they can smash it in through marketing and just with sheer force of will upon the regulatory bodies. Literally, they say, yeah, so usually we don't even use IgA to even measure to understand whether a subject has responded. Well, then how do you even do your freaking studies? To repeat, they say, no, instead, usually to determine whether an experimental subject has responded, quote unquote, to a vaccine, these studies usually refer to IgG, IgM, or total immunoglobulin in the blood. But that's not the main protection for respiratory viruses on the external mucosal surface is important. Very next sentence, most vaccines are delivered intramuscularly, and mucosal immunity and IgA secretion is thereby minimal. Furthermore, eliciting IgA production from conventional vaccines is difficult, and vaccines may lack the immunogenicity required to elicit necessary IgA protection. Okay, I'm going to read this again for emphasis. May lack the immunogenicity required. Lack what's required to elicit necessary IgA protection. We will translate that slightly, but it is what you think it is. May lack the immunogenicity required to elicit necessary IgA protection. Well, it kind of already says what it needs to be saying. Immunogenicity is the ability of a foreign substance to provoke an immune response. So it does not have the ability to provoke the immune response necessary to elicit the proper IgA protection. That's what this sentence is saying plainly and clearly. Furthermore, eliciting IgA production from conventional vaccines is difficult, and vaccines may lack the immunogenicity required to elicit necessary IgA protection. Let's go back to the beginning of the very same background. This is admitted basic facts in order to understand the rest of this paragraph. One reason for vaccine failure against respiratory viruses is that the respiratory tract, including the lungs, is an external mucosal surface that is protected by the generation of secreted IgA antibodies. Okay, so that's the most important, as the Tennessee subcommittee testimony was saying. And here we say, hey, yeah, so vaccines may lack the immunogenicity, the ability to elicit an immune response, to elicit necessary IgA protection. But nonetheless, we're going to keep trying to smash that round peg into a square hole. And then onwards they go about the nanoparticle vaccines. I'm going to have a follow-up on this because there's another very interesting study that was released in the Pfizer documents that say, yeah, the whole stay at injection site, don't you worry. There are all those people that saying this is going everywhere in the body, and so the side effects of the vaccines are going everywhere in the body. They're a bunch of myth makers and liars because it stays at the injection site. Oops, the Pfizer document says it doesn't. So that'll be a follow-up. We'll do that. All right, guys, I just wanted to back up that health subcommittee that not only were they saying something very matter-of-factly that they believe, but it's so matter-of-fact, it's background in a basic long article of vaccines. To repeat, what I'd like to do is read and then go back to that audio. While a single vaccination can confer lifelong protection against smallpox or poliovirus, HIV continues to evade protection by vaccination despite a major worldwide effort to develop an effective HIV vaccine. Additionally, there are indications that respiratory viruses are especially difficult to protect against with vaccines. The respiratory syncytial virus is a prime example in which there are no approved vaccines, despite considerable efforts to develop one. One reason for vaccine failure against respiratory viruses is that the respiratory tract, including the lungs, is an external mucosal surface that is protected by the generation of secreted IgA antibodies. Yet the antibodies measure to determine whether an experimental subject has, quote, responded, end quote, to a vaccine often focus on IgG, IgM, or total immunoglobulin in the blood. Most vaccines are delivered intramuscularly, and mucosal immunity and IgA secretion is thereby minimal. Furthermore, eliciting IgA production from conventional vaccines is difficult, and vaccines may lack the immunogenicity required to elicit necessary IgA protection. And now the audio.
Yeah, it's absolutely scientifically clear that these vaccines do not prevent acquisition of the disease. SARS-CoV-2 does not prevent transmission of the disease, does not prevent illness from the disease, and does not prevent death from the disease. And in fact, in studies, the all-cause mortality rates have been shown now to be higher in numerous studies in those who have received the vaccine than those who have not. So it does not prevent transmission. Those who have gotten the shots can acquire and transmit at equal volumes. University of Wisconsin, University of California, Vietnam, multiple studies affirming this scientifically peer-reviewed data.
And mechanistically, he's basically talked about it's from IgA. Secretory IgA is the most abundant antibody in our body, and it does not get stimulated from any of these vaccines. This is a respiratory virus. Secretory IgA is in the respiratory system, and that's one of the main reasons why vaccinated people actually are harboring more virus.
All right, guys, there you go. Secretory IgA, both talked about in the Tennessee House Health Subcommittee testimony on all-cause mortality, and then backed up with a basic backgrounder section in a big National Institutes of Health study on nanoparticles in vaccines. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley.